Hello, I'm Ed Limpinen of the AAAS Office of Public Programs, and I'm speaking today with Dr. Tim White of the University of California at Berkeley. Dr. White is one of the lead authors of a collection of articles that will appear in a special edition of Science this week. The articles present the first major fossil analysis of Ardipithecus ramidus, including the oldest known hominid skeleton from 4.4 million years ago in what is now Ethiopia. Dr. White, could you begin by telling me briefly the story of how you discovered and excavated these fossils, and especially how you dealt with the condition of the Ardi skeleton?
Well, that story starts a long time ago. What you're seeing now is a publication by 47 total authors. I'm number 47, 46, 45, and so forth aren't at the table with me here today. So I'm going to kind of summarize our work there, and the work has been going on since 1981 in this region of Ethiopia. The team is a very large team, and our basic overall goals are to find as much evidence as we can for what happened in that part of the world over the last 6 million years. So back in 1992, we were at the Aramis locality in Ethiopia. It's out in the desert of Ethiopia in the Afar Triangle, and we were looking for hominid remains. And my colleague from the University of Tokyo, Gen Sua, found a molar tooth. It was very old. We knew the beds we were working were much older than the Lucy discovery, which is around 3.2 million. We knew we were older than 4 million. So we were happy to get this, and we worked for a couple of years and found more teeth, an arm from another individual. Basically, you could have put all of those fossils into a baseball cap at that point, and I pretty much figured we're not going to get too much more because this site has had a lot of hyena activity at it 4.4 million years ago. The bones are highly fragmentary. But we returned to the field after publishing those first discoveries and naming this new creature Ardipithecus. And you as a paleontologist, you always have a hope that you find something more complete. Skeletons are really key to this, because if you can find all the parts of a single individual's skeleton, then you can really start to understand the biology. And here in this place, we had a chance to understand more than just the skeletal biology and the individual biology, but we had found lots of fossil wood, fossil monkeys, lots of other animals in these deposits. So we were out there collecting these things, and during one of these operations to clear the surface of all the bones that eroded to the surface, Johannes Haile Selassie, who was a graduate student here at Berkeley at the time, found a piece of a bone from the palm of a hand. And we started to do the recovery operation there by screening the loose sediment on the surface and started to find other bones. And then we thought, well, maybe we have something more than what you usually get. What you usually get is a tooth or a jaw, or if you're lucky, a piece of a face. And we found more and more of this individual. And by the end of that field season in 1994, we had found over 100 pieces of this single individual skeleton. Problem was that these pieces had been very broken at the time they were deposited. They're in very bad shape. They were, at that point in time, cemented in a very hard, silty matrix. And so those had to be removed from the field, encased in plaster jackets, and hardened with a consolidant. Very, very fragile, and it took us many years to clean the bones in the National Museum of Ethiopia, and then set about to restore this skeleton to its original dimensions and form, and then study it and compare it with all of the other fossils that are known from Africa and elsewhere, as well as with modern apes. And so that's sort of the story. We excavated back at that skeleton site for 3 separate years before we ran out of pieces. We don't have the entire skeleton, but we have some of the most important parts of it.
Was there ever a moment where you were in the field or working in the lab and you knew that you had made a significant new discovery?
Well, any time that you're in a previously unknown time period, as we were there, we knew that anything we got was going to be important. Mm-hmm. We hoped, of course, that we would have much of the skeleton, but this took weeks to excavate, so there was never really a point at which we said, wow, we feel pretty happy here, we've got a partial skeleton. it sort of evolved as we dug along. The high points were finding the mandible, the lower jaw, with a complete dentition. Mm-hmm. That was great. We had found foot bones, hand bones. We found the base of the skull. And when we took it out from the field, I remember digging a pedestal around this thing to lift it out in a plaster jacket, hoping that we had the whole skull, the face and the back of the head. Turned out, years later, as we cleaned this from the jacket in the laboratory, only the back of the head was there, and not only that, it had been completely crushed, so the dimension from the top to the bottom of the cranium was only a couple centimeters, been completely flattened. And then we went back and dug more, and we found isolated teeth and then one side of the face. And so we had lots of pieces that had been smashed a long time ago, and we had to put these back together again to understand what it looked like.
I wonder if you could expand the discussion of the bones a little bit. And you found these bones in a ecological or environmental context. What other things did you find there? And not just the hominid bones, but plants and other animals.
Well, this is a locality at a place called Aramis in the Middle Awash study area of Ethiopia. And if you were to go out to that site today, you'd stand on a volcanic ash horizon that was deposited 4.4 million years ago. And just under that horizon, there are reddish-brown sediments that are silts from an ancient river system. And as you walk along the surface, these soft sediments are eroding today. And so their content, all the fossils that were entombed there 4.5 million years ago, have eroded to the surface. You're seeing more of them come out every year. So we've been back this place many times. And we crawl across it, and we pick up everything, every seed, every piece of fossil wood, every scrap of bone. And so we're in a very good position at the end of many years of crawling these outcrops, and especially Locality 6. I think we have over 2,000 identified fossils from this site. And on an average crawl, if you were just to go out there and keep your face close to the ground and crawl along and pick up every tooth that you found of a mammal, the ones you'd find most often are spiral horn antelope that we call kudu. You find lots of colobus monkeys. You find lots of very small mammals, things like shrews and bats. You find occasional birds. You find lots and lots of seeds and fossil wood. So we're able to then understand what the place was like, not just what the hominids were like, but the entire flora and fauna that they were embedded with as this ancient floodplain was accumulating sediments at around 4.4 million years ago.
And what kind of environment was it? I understand maybe it was a forest, and that wasn't necessarily expected.
Well, for years people have thought that the earliest stages of human evolution happened as a response to living in grassland savannas. And even early in the analysis back in the 90s, when we first started to collect these remains, we became very suspicious of this because all of the things found with Ardipithecus were indicating a more closed woodland habitat. We didn't have the grassland grazing antelope. We didn't have the rodents that live in dry savanna regions. We had lots of colobus monkeys. We had lots of animals that are adapted to woodland conditions. And so in the last 15 years, as we've been analyzing these hominid fossils and extracting them from the matrix, we've returned to these sites. We've crawled them. We've accumulated an avalanche of information. And we have specialists, these other authors I talked about, specialize in things ranging from pollen to seeds to bats to giraffids, rhinos, monkeys, you name it, right down to the person from the University of Illinois who studies the isotopes of the ancient soils and the isotopic composition of the enamel in these teeth of various creatures, including Ardipithecus. So what we have are multiple lines of evidence from geology, from paleontology, from geochemistry, from all across the spectrum, and they all point to the same thing. These creatures were living and dying in a woodland habitat, not an open savanna.